We're glad that you've joined us today for the Let the Bible Speak program. I appreciate an opportunity to study God's Word with you, and I hope that our studies are helpful. We are looking at the Great Faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Men and women who did things by faith, trusting and believing God and obeying Him in their lives. And we need that so much today. These men and women have been dead a long time, but they speak to us on the pages of Scripture. They speak to us here in Hebrews chapter 11, where they are described as men and women of faith. And then when you go back to the Old Testament and you read the account of the lives of these individuals, they are speaking there as well. In the story, the example, the lessons, the history that is taking place, they are speaking to us and they are saying that a life of faith is where it's at. A life of faith is worthwhile. A life of faith is what God wants for us, and it will be greatly rewarded. And we need that same life of faith and trust and confidence and obedience in God today. When we left off our study last week, we finished with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And I want to pick up with verse 17 and keep moving through the chapter, where the writer will continue one more event in the life of Abraham. And we're looking at men and women, and we're asking the question, what would these men and women say to us? What do they say to us today? Based upon chapter 11 and verse 4, though he be dead, yet he speaks. Talking about Abel, we're making the point that the dead speak. They speak to us on the pages of Scripture, and let us be listening and learning and obeying. Well, we pick up our study of these faithful men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, where the Hebrew writer says, by faith Abraham, being tried or tested, offered up Isaac, yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back. The account of this is back in Genesis chapter 22. And God laid a test and a trial before Abraham, and Abraham passed that test. He was obedient, and as a result, at the end of the story, we're told that God blessed Abraham once again. So what would Abraham say? What would he speak to us today? He would say that obeying God, even in difficult times and in trying circumstances, is worth it, and you will be blessed and rewarded by God for doing that. Go through the test, go through the trial, pass it. Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if it means making a great sacrifice, and you will be rewarded for it. That's what Abraham is saying. Now, God does not tempt us. James chapter 1, James tells us that God does not tempt us. He doesn't lure us into sin. He does not do that. But God does test us. Those are two different things. God will put trials in our lives. He wants to see if we are worth it. He wants to see if we are serious about following Him and serving Him. He wants to see what the makeup is of our character. What kind of a Christian are we? What kind of a believer are we? And so, yes, He will do that. He will place trials before us. Are we passing those or not? Well, let's just read a few of these verses in this account in Genesis chapter 22. Excuse me. In Genesis 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham, prove or test him. And he said, Abraham? And he said, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Now, Abraham actually had another son. And here he's described as his only son. This is the only son of promise. He had another son, Ishmael, by Hagar. But Isaac is the only son of promise. And it was promised that in Abraham, his seed would be blessed. And then that promise is repeated to Isaac. In Isaac, his seed would be blessed all the way down. And then Jacob and his seed and so forth, all the way down to the coming of Jesus Christ. So if we kill Isaac, if we offer him up for a burnt offering, how in the world can anyone come through Isaac? He's a young man here. He doesn't have a family yet. And you're asking me, God, to kill him. And so it doesn't make sense. It's a proof or a test or a trial, and Abraham passes it. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Notice his zeal in doing what God said. Abraham would say, when God gives you a test or a trial, face it head on. Face it early. Be committed. Don't drag your feet. He saddled the donkey and took two of his men with him, his young men and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went unto the place which God had told him. Just do what God says. That's what Abraham would say. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come back again to you. Notice his faith that he believed that he would come back with him. I believe that's indicated in Hebrews 11, where the Hebrew writer says that Abraham believed that God could even bring him back from the dead if he needed to. And I believe that faith is shown here in the statement, we will worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went both together. Face the challenge, face the test. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Jehovah called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Notice, friends, that God gave Abraham a test, and he went through with it. It could be seen that he was going to slay his son. Notice that statement. I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld thy son. He stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It could be seen that he was going through with this. Faith acts. Faith obeys. Abraham didn't just talk about it. Abraham didn't get up there and dilly-dally around and hem and haw and shuffle his feet and try to drag it out and see if there's some way he could avoid this. He just went through the process as if he was going to offer his son. And he's stopped. He is stopped by the angel of the Lord. And then we find that God provides. Notice also the statement in verse 12, fear God. I see that you have feared God. To respect and reverence God to the point of obeying. That's what Abraham would say. That's what Abraham would say. Fear and respect God, obey God, and you'll be greatly rewarded for it. We need to get back to that in our lives today. So verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of Jehovah it shall be provided. The Lord sees and provides, Jehovah Jireh. And the angel of Jehovah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself have I sworn, saith Jehovah, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, because you have done what I said, I will bless you. Abraham would say, obedience is worth it. Not talking about it, not thinking about it, but acting. And so based upon what he had done, he would be blessed. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. And that's the climax of the whole story and lesson here. Abraham would say, obey, it's worth it. You will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. You have been blessed. And friends, we need to do the same. It begins with obeying the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Christ, confessing that with our mouth, repenting of our sins, and being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, and live a faithful life. That's our obedience. It begins there, and we live a faithful life. And Abraham will say, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed immediately upon obedience to the gospel with forgiveness of sins. You will wash away your sins. What a great blessing that is, Acts 22:16. And there will be many other blessings that will follow. Obey God, and you will be blessed. And then ultimately, in the judgment day, you will have that home in heaven. Well, if we keep reading in Hebrews chapter 11, we have time, I believe, for the next three that are listed in the text here, and they all relate to the same thing. They are all three men, a father, a son, and a grandson. They are in their old age. And they're doing things by faith in their old age. And two of them, with regard to Jacob and Joseph, it's right before their death. But they are saying and doing things in their old age, and they're looking forward to the future, and they're believing that God will act even when they're dead and gone. And so I believe the author of Hebrews groups these three people together because they relate in that way. Faith in old age concerning future things that God will do. And these three individuals would all say the same thing. And that is, I'm older, but I trust that after I'm dead and gone, God is going to fulfill his word because he's already fulfilled it in my life. I've seen it. And I know that he will continue to fulfill that word when I'm dead and gone. That's what these men would say. And we need to have that same kind of faith. We need to be acting now, sharing the gospel with others, raising our children right, because God will fulfill those things even when we're dead and gone. Doing work in the Lord's church, setting the right example, teaching others, leaving our influence and character to others that will live on when we're dead and gone. We believe that God will carry out his word after we're dead and gone because he has carried out his word while we're living here and now. What does the Hebrew writer say? Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob, even concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. They all three have this in common. They're elderly, and in the last two cases, they're about to die, and they are thinking about future things and God's fulfillment of those future things. Not the judgment day, but things that will take place after they're dead and gone, where God will continue to carry out his plan. So let's look at that. The first one has to do with Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. The story here is found in Genesis chapter 27. Esau was the firstborn, but Jacob, with the help of his mother Rebekah, deceived his father Isaac. He was old and his eyes were dim, Genesis 27:1. And his mother Rebekah helped him to put on Esau's clothes and smell like him and feel like him with the goats, the kid goats' fur on his hands and on the back of his neck. And she helped him to get the food prepared to offer. And Isaac ended up blessing Jacob instead of Esau. He later gave a secondary blessing to Esau, but Jacob ended up getting what would be the firstborn blessing. But notice what Isaac says. It has to do with future things. The Hebrew writer said, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. That's the whole point. Well, what are those things? Well, in Genesis 27, when it comes time for the blessing, verse 27 of chapter 27, he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, this is Isaac saying to Jacob, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which Jehovah has blessed. And God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and new wine. Let peoples serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses thee. So we're talking about the future, where even nations would bow down to Jacob or Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob, and from them would become the kings of Israel and Judah. And so we've got to understand that there is a very serious blessing going on here that involves future events, and that Israel would be a mighty people in the days of Saul and David and Solomon. They were a mighty people, especially in the days of Solomon. And they were a world power at that time. And people would come and bow down to them. And so Isaac believed that. That's going to be long after he's dead and gone. He gives a secondary type of blessing to Esau, starting in verse 39. But these are things that pertain to the future. Esau would also have the fatness of the earth and the dew of the heaven, but there would be something different for him. By thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt break loose, thou shalt shake his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. So, believing in things that are to come, Isaac did that. Now come with me to verse 21. By faith Jacob, now it's Jacob's turn, who had been blessed by his father. Jacob is now blessing the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And to get that, of course, you have to go down toward the end of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 48. In Genesis chapter 48, when Jacob comes into Egypt and has been there some time, he's getting older and he's going to die. And in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 8, he brings a blessing upon Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. In this case, he purposely switches his hands in order to bless the younger. When he was blessed, Isaac was fooled or tricked into blessing the younger. Here, Jacob purposely blesses the younger. But again, it has to do with that which is going to happen in the future. And so he switches his hands or crosses his hands, and Joseph says, no, don't do that. I see what you're doing. And Jacob says, no, I know, leave it alone. This is the way it's going to be. And in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 19 and verse 20, the blessing comes. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee will Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God will be with you and will bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. And then later in chapter 49, he calls all of his sons and blesses them, not just the two grandsons. He is making prophecies and predictions about things that are going to happen in the future. And Ephraim will become a great tribe. They will become the name synonymous with Israel. And of course, there are prophecies that are mentioned with regard to the 12 sons of Jacob in chapter 49. And then at the end of chapter 49, Jacob dies. But again, it's blessings that involve future events, prophecies. And these men believed that these things were going to take place. The writer of Hebrews actually joins two of the accounts together into one verse involving Jacob. The blessing of the sons of Joseph is one thing, and then worshiping upon the top of his staff, that actually is a little bit separate occasion, which happened earlier at the end of Genesis 49. But again, it is statements that involve the future. Here we are at the end now of Genesis chapter 47. I may have said 49. At the end of chapter 47, we find where Jacob or Israel is talking to Joseph. If now I have found favor in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but when I sleep with my fathers, thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the place of their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swear. And Israel bowed himself upon his bed's head. The Hebrew text, the Septuagint, is upon his staff. There's a little bit different reading in the original word there for the difference between bed and staff. But again, notice, take my bones out of Egypt. And that's what happens in chapter 50 when Jacob dies. His family leaves Egypt, takes him up into Canaan land, and buries him with Abraham and Sarah and the other family members, like a family burial plot, if you will, or a family cemetery. But it involves faith in future events. And then last of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have the matter of Joseph. Joseph, by faith, made mention of his bones and gave commandment that he be carried out. So if you'll turn with me to the end of Genesis chapter 50, it comes time now for Joseph to die. Genesis 50, 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years, And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, and the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were born upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, but God will surely visit you. Notice that. God will surely visit you. Back when he was, when the two sons of Joseph were being blessed, God will be with you. You see, these are statements about what God is going to do. So God is going to come and visit after the bondage in Egypt. And you're going to come out. And that's what happened. Exodus chapter 12 and 13, Moses brings the Israelites out. God kept his word. He will bring you up out of this land into a land which he swore unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And you can read in Exodus chapter 13, when Moses and the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, they brought the bones of Joseph with them. Exodus 13, verse 19. Friends, these individuals would say, I believe that God is going to keep his word in what he has said. He's made promises, and I believe those promises. God does not lie. It is impossible for God to lie. That is not in his nature. That is not in his character. We are around liars all the time in our world in different kinds of ways, but God does not lie. And so that's what these men would say. Believe in God. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. So, friends, the dead are speaking through Scripture. Abraham is saying, fear God, obey God, even if it's a trial and a test and it's difficult, you will be blessed and rewarded for it. Let your faith be seen. The text there in Genesis 22, when the angel of the Lord saw Abraham and what he had done, faith needs to be seen. And then, of course, these men, the father, the son, the grandson, these men would say, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, they would say, God makes promises, he does not lie, and I believe in those things. And so for us today, the promise of Jesus returning that is given at the beginning of the book of Acts and other places, the promise of a coming judgment day, right here in the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. That's a promise. We can believe that those things will come. That's what these men would say. And we need these characteristics and these qualities in our life today. Be that, obey the gospel, and trust in God's promises. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.